When America inaugurated its first African-American president in 2009, many wondered if the country had finally become a post-racial society. Was this the dawning of a new era in which America, a nation nearly severed in half by slavery and whose racial fault lines are arguably among its most enduring traits, would at last move beyond race with the election of Barack Hussein Obama? In the new book, Ghosts of Jim Crow, Michael Higginbotham argues that America remains far away from that imagined utopia. Indeed, the shadows of Jim Crow-era laws and attitudes continue to perpetuate insidious, systematic prejudice and racism in the 21st century. Michael Higginbotham is the Wilson Elkins Professor of Law at the University of Baltimore School of Law. He is also the author of Race Law, new book Ghosts of Jim Crow, Ending Racism in Post-Racial America. Michael Higginbotham, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to join you, Joe, and I look forward to talking about my book, Ghosts of Jim Crow.
Give us a sense of just that term, of coming to that term, of what those ghosts are.
Well, Joe, we have tremendous disparities in our country today based on race. If you look at the socioeconomic index, every aspect, whether it's wealth accumulation, income levels, unemployment, graduation rates, tremendous disparities between blacks and whites. These disparities existed during Jim Crow, and they were explained by the fact that Jim Crow laws and practices mandated such inequitable results. But today, there are a number of explanations, and I wrote Ghosts of Jim Crow to provide my explanation on why those disparities continue.
When you talk about those disparities, we know, I guess we know what they are, we know it when we see it, and yet changing that behavior is what is so fundamentally difficult.
It is, Joe. We've had 200 or more years of case law, laws, practices that have basically impacted how we think about race. And what I talk about in Ghosts of Jim Crow is this model, this paradigm that has existed in our country since slavery days, and despite the progress we've made, continues to exist. And this racial model consists of three aspects. One is racial hierarchy, and that includes both false notions of white superiority and black inferiority. The second aspect of the model is racial exclusivity, and that includes both white and black desires for isolation and separation. The third aspect is racial victimization, and that includes both laws and practices that disproportionately harm racial minorities, as well as an internal aspect of victimization of blacks by blacks themselves.
You do talk in the book about legal and political reform that can be done to create a post-racial America, but you say only if it inspires whites and blacks to significantly alter behaviors and attitudes, which are race-based, both superiority and victimization. So how do you tackle that?
It's a tough problem, Joe, but there are two aspects of racism that continue. One is societal racism, and that is the laws and practices that disproportionately harm racial minorities. The other is cultural racism, and that is the values, the biases, the ideas, the notions that people still have that involves discriminatory aspects, that involves looking at blacks or looking at whites in a different way simply because of their race. And in order to get to a post-racial society, which I think most Americans want to get to, where race is no longer a significant factor in the opportunities or the hardships that Americans endure, we need to eradicate both aspects of racism, both the laws and practices, as well as the way we continue to think. And so if we don't deal with both aspects, then we're never going to get to a post-racial America.
And at a risk of grossly oversimplifying what you just said, in some cases, basically what we're trying to do is start with a clean slate.
Well, unfortunately, we can't really start with a clean slate because of the number of years that we've had building up that slate. So I don't think we want to ignore our past. We want to understand where we've come from, because we've made tremendous progress by eliminating slavery and Jim Crow segregation, by passing anti-discrimination laws, as well as implementing affirmative action programs. And of course, we've even elected our first black president. So I think we want to understand where we've come from, the progress that we've made, but we also want to make sure that we identify how effective we've been in the past in order to complete the race, in order to finish what we started in 1776 by identifying the self-evident truth that all are created equal.
So this post-racial era, in your opinion, is that something that can be achieved? I guess the question is, when can that be achieved? What is a reasonable timetable? And if not now, when?
I think it can be achieved. I think if we look at the progress we've made, it gives us hope that certainly we have made some progress so that it can be achieved. The question is, do we have the will to do it? I look at the success we've had in fighting terrorism, with the situation in Boston. When Americans work together, I look at the people that were rushing to help individuals who were injured in the terrorist act. I look at how law enforcement has effectively identified the individuals involved at this time. I think when Americans work together across racial lines, they can accomplish so much. And so I am cautiously optimistic that if we're willing to work together on eliminating racial inequality, we can also do that.
This country doesn't reach its full potential unless we do that.
I don't think we do. I look at the global market today. I look at Brazil and China and other countries that are increasing their market. And I think that America is wasting so many of its personal resources. I look at so many Americans that are not getting the proper education, are not getting the opportunities for employment, and I think that we really have to make sure that we use all of our human resources in order to compete on a global market. It's sad that we're wasting so many resources because of racial inequality.
And when you talk about that global competition, I mean, this is a global issue, right? I mean, this is something where it has to be not just in this country, but worldwide.
Well, I think so. I mean, I certainly don't want to see any individual not have an opportunity to get an education, to get a good, solid job, a job that individual is capable of doing. But I look at America, we were first in education, you know, a decade ago in terms of number of graduates of high school, number of graduates from college, number of PhDs, and we've slipped from 10 to 18 to 23 in those categories. And to me, no country should slip like that. But America has been number one in these categories, and to me it's so important that we continue to maintain success in education, because education is one of the legitimate vehicles for upward mobility in our society. But clearly I think other countries should emulate our success in the past in education, and I think that what we need to do is make sure that we continue to make sure that we value education, and that we don't lose sight of the opportunities that all Americans should have in terms of this legitimate vehicle for upward mobility.
You mentioned the word a few moments ago, but it's something that I found to be throughout the book, which is optimism.
I've always been a person who looks at the glass as half full rather than half empty. And again, I think that there's so many things that have occurred in my lifetime. Dr. King receiving a holiday, Nelson Mandela getting out of prison after 29 years. So many things that I've seen that give me hope that we can continue to improve. And so for me, we can do this. You know, we can make positive change. We can eliminate the racial inequalities that continue to exist. But it's a question of if we're willing to implement some of the solutions I suggest in my book. And I'm so proud of the fact that, you know, for me, it's fair game to criticize the racial status quo. But if you're going to criticize, you need to suggest ways to do it better, ways to improve and ways to eliminate and get to eliminate racism and get to a post-racial America. So I'm very proud of the fact that two chapters in the book specifically talk about solutions. And one of the things, of course, we all need to do is recognize there continues to be a problem. The eye cannot see what the mind does not comprehend. And so if we're not willing to acknowledge we haven't gotten there yet, then we're never going to be able to implement some of the other solutions that I suggest.
It is a fascinating study. The title of the book is Ghosts of Jim Crow, Ending Racism in Post-Racial America. The book is published by New York University Press. Michael Higginbotham, I thank you very much for spending time with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world with this project.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Ghosts of Jim Crow, Ending Racism in Post-Racial America. It's published by NYU. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.